To two, three people, tell them it's good to see you this morning. And you can be seated. Amen. You don't have to do it. Amen. Well, the Lord's good to us, isn't he? Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers are going to be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand and they will give you one. Just lift it up. And our goal here is to teach you the Word of God. We're not after just public opinion. Amen. We're not just after hearing something that tickles our ears. We want the Word of God. Well, it's the only thing that can linger, the only thing that can impact our soul, get over into the place that it's more than information, but something that our soul recognizes as revelation, hearing from God. Amen. Have you ever played that game, Duck, Duck, Goose? You ever played that game before? I know the Lord gave me this example, and I actually had to go online and Google it to find out how you did it. I remember doing it as a kid, but I had to get the exact instructions. And basically, in the game of Duck, Duck, Goose, you'll have people sometimes standing, but most of the time sitting in a circle, all facing outward. And you have one person who goes around and they tap a person on the head. Most of the time it's kids playing. And tap a person or a kid on the head and they'll say, duck. And if you've got, just say, 12 people sitting there, they'll go around to 11 of them and say, duck. I mean, just go by and put their hand on them, duck. Then go to the next one, duck. Then go to the next one, duck. Then go to the next one, duck. And finally, they get to one and they say, goose. Now, when they say goose, what they're aiming to do is to take off running after they say goose and touch them and run all the way around the other circle and sit down in that person's seat without that person being able to tag them. How many of you are familiar with Duck, Duck, Goose? Well, that is a perfect example on how to be led by the Spirit of God. Duck, Duck, Goose. It's perfect. Here's what I mean by that. When you're walking with the Lord, there will be many more checks than there are leadings. Does that make sense? There'll be a whole lot more ducks than goose. I'll put it to you this way. The job that you're working on, the job that you're currently working, it should be your assignment. It should be you're working there because you know God has called you there. There's something you're supposed to do. There's people you're supposed to meet. There's something, somebody you're supposed to serve. But for whatever reason, you're there because you know God wants you there. Now, out of all the jobs you could work at, I mean, think about the job you have. That's one. But think about all the other places you could work. Well, you can see just by using that example how there'd be many more checks than leadings. You're led to work there. If you tried to work anywhere else, you should get a check on the inside. Well, I know when I went to Rhema, I was 17 when my father went home to be with the Lord. And I graduated from high school at 17. Well, I didn't know what the next step was. You know, I'm still figuring out how to be led by the Spirit of God. I grew up in a Pentecostal preacher's home, so I was familiar with it, but the witness I was still getting more accurate with and still learning how to hear from the Lord more acutely and accurately to where I could say, like John said, I know the voice of my Lord and the voice of a stranger I will not follow, and be able to say it with certainty. Well, I was still getting to that place. And so in my mind, after I graduated high school, I was still going to go to Mississippi College. But at the funeral, Brother Hagin got up, and after he told me what he had told me in the back room, that I'd be the next full-time pastor of Word of Life Church, he was prophesying when he said it. But after that, he said, and Joel's going to go to Rhema. And so that just changed my plans all right there. I figure he said it, and if the man of God, the prophet of God said it, that's good for me. But not only that, he said it in front of hundreds of people who would be watching to see what I did, and so I guess I better go. And so I went up there and I knew it was the Lord. I just had peace about it on the inside. And when you get up there, you're looking for different things. You're looking at where you're going to live. And I already had that kind of bolt through. I was going to live in student housing. It's a place that's right across the street from Rhema, kind of like dorm rooms where Rhema students stay. And Rhema's the Bible school I went to. Well, you know, you're looking at all different kinds of other things, who you're going to befriend, where you're going to go, but also, most notably, where you're going to work. I mean, there's any number of jobs there that you could work. And I was very fortunate. I grew up with two great parents who instilled in me a strong work ethic. I mean, it was just, by the time you're able to work, you're going to work. You're going to clean your room. You're going to sweep the floors. You're going to clean up. There was just no other option but to work. And friends, let me tell you, that is a good thing. Instill in your young people a good working habit. Amen. Nothing like laziness, anyway. And Proverbs says plenty about that. Study the ant, is what Solomon would say. But anyway, so I enjoyed work. I always tried to please my employer, be the best on the job I could be, because my father always taught me when you work, no matter where you're working or what you're doing, you do your work as unto the Lord. So He is worthy of your best, so that employer is worthy of your best. And so I believed in that. But anyway, I'm looking for different places to work. And I'd go into different places, and it seemed like, man, that fits my schedule perfectly. You know, you've got places that lend themselves well to young people or college-age people. And that's how this was. You know, you're going to school from basically 9 to 12 every day. Then after that, it's kind of free time to where you work and pay your bills, that kind of deal. Well, you know, I was looking for a job in a restaurant, somewhere where I could get a little bit more than minimum wage. You know, you could get whatever waiters get, but if you got a nice restaurant, you know, you can make good money, or decent money, at least for a college student. But I'd go into these places, and nothing sit well. It was a duck. You know what I mean by that? Just on the inside, something didn't quite fit. And then someone told me about the coffee house that Rhema was opening called the Coffee Bank. Well, I'll be honest, that didn't interest me at all, at all. I didn't like coffee. I wasn't interested in coffee. I honestly didn't want to work there, primarily because they told me the salary was minimum wage. And I figured I could get more by being a waiter at some of these other places. But anyway, I went over there to see what they were doing, and they gave me a job application. And I kid you not, when I walked in, something just came on the inside of me like peace. Just something on the inside. I knew that's where God wanted me. I can't explain it other than just to say on the inside, it felt right. You ever been in a place or around someone or in something and you just know something's not right? Well, in all those other places, good places, plenty of other Rhema students working at those places, but for me, when I walked in there, something wasn't right. But I'd go into that coffee shop, and something just fit. It just felt right. In the natural, it didn't make sense. But on the inside, it fit. Now, this is how God leads you. This is how God guides you. I'll give you an example from the Old Testament. You see Samuel the prophet. He's mourning because his servant Saul, the guy he anointed to be king, has completely gone off track. I mean, completely gone the wrong way. He's failed as a king. And so he's weeping. He's mourning. And God comes to Samuel. And he says, how long are you going to mourn for my servant Saul? Meaning, this is not your failure. Don't sit there and act like you did this. Get up and get on with the next thing. There's something else I have for you. He said, go down to the house of Jesse. And in his house, one of his sons you'll anoint to be the next king. Now, this is interesting. Notice what God didn't say. God didn't say to Samuel, go down to Jesse's house. Jesse's going to line up all his kids in front of you. All of those kids are going to be ducks. The goose is out there in the field who's out there tending the sheep. Don't even bother with those. Just go right out there to the guy in the sheepfold. His name is David. Go anoint him to be the next king. No, God didn't do that. Why? Because that wouldn't take any faith. God leads you in steps. This is where I'm getting at. God leads you in steps. Most of the time, He doesn't show you the whole thing. Why? Because if He did, you'd try to figure out how to do it in your mind. God leads you in steps. Now, we're talking about pride and humility. The proud get resisted, the humble get the grace. The humble are those who have retired from their way, retired from their will, and submitted over into the will of the Lord. Remember, this is what we're talking about. When you retire from what you want to do and yield to what God wants you to do, then when you do that, you can get more grace. But as long as you're holding on to what you want, you are going to get resisted. So God is leading Samuel in steps. He tells him, go down to Jesse's house. Well, Jesse hears why Samuel's there to anoint his boys, and he lines up all of his boys from really greatest to least. He picks out this one kid named Eliab, and Eliab, he looks like a king, smells like a king, acts like a king. Everything about him on the outside says king. But Samuel gets up there, lays his hands on him, and he just sees clearly, this is a duck. Go down to the next one, 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 duck. Finally, he lays hands on all those boys, and there's not one goose in all of them. They are all ducks, meaning with every single one of them, he knew something's not right, something's not right, something's not right. No, they're not it. No, they're not it. And finally, he gets down to the end of the line, and they're all ducks. And so he comes back to Jesse and says, you got any more boys? I know I didn't miss God. And he said, well, there's one out there in the field. His name is David. David walks in. Samuel puts his hand on him. Goose. And he chased him from that moment forward. Now, here's where I'm getting at. At coffee shop, that was my goose. I knew God was telling me to be there. It didn't make sense to me in the natural. I got rent to pay, there's school, there's bills, all of these other things. And I'm thinking, how does that fit with what God wants me to do? Minimum wage job at a place that you're making coffee and you don't even like coffee. How does that fit? But I knew it was God. Look here in Acts 15. I'm taking you somewhere. Acts chapter 15. I'm in Nehemiah, so give me a minute. Acts chapter 15. I want you to notice something here in verse 23. It says, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, Acts 15, 23. And they wrote manners by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and that other place. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Now basically, how many of you know that the New Testament is just really a collection of letters that people sent out? And so here we see an example of, they've got a lot of churches in different places. They're still building the church, sending out apostles and pastors to take care of the church members that they're getting born again. But up until this time, they're communicating them with a lot of letters. So basically, someone's come into the church and started preaching things that they don't want to agree with, and it's causing confusion in the church. So the disciples take it among themselves to write letters and send the letters to them. But they take it up a notch. They don't just send letters. In fact, they write a real short letter and they do something different. In verse 25, watch this phrase. It seemed good unto us. Underline it, highlight it, put in parentheses. It seemed good. Everyone say it seemed good. Unto us, being assembled, you don't have to keep repeating, being assembled one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. Why did they send these men to these churches? It seemed good to them. Why did these men go? It seemed good to them. Now notice the next word in verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then he goes and tells them the next couple of things. So notice this. He's being led by God by his seamer. I'll put it that way. It seems good to him. And so he goes with where it seems good. All throughout the Bible, they call it being led forth by peace. When that peace is there, that inward witness is there, that it seems good is there, it's God trying to get your attention. That's a goose. You chase it. But then there are other times where it seems bad. Whether it's a person, a place, you're listening to the radio and you know I shouldn't be listening to this, or you're in a certain place and you know I shouldn't be there, or you're interviewing for a certain place and everything on the outside looks good. It looks good. I think I should take this job in the natural. It looks good. But on the inside, something doesn't seem right. What do you do? You do not go there. That is a duck. Run. There is a goose on the way. If you're in a relationship with someone and the more you pray and the more you're there, it just something doesn't seem right. Duck. There is a goose out there somewhere. But follow your seamer. So I'm following the inward witness. It seems good for me to be there. I sense as if God wants me there. I can't get away from it. And so I retire from my way. I yield over to His way. I'm in the place He wants me to be. I'm walking in the path He has for me. I'm walking in the way He wants me to go. What's next? It's His job then. He's got to pour out the grace. And friends, I kid you not. I kid you not. That place became miracle ground for me. I mean, literally. I met friends there that we developed and grew and we were able to pray. And I prayed out and got deeper in prayer there with those guys than I've ever gotten before. There would be times where we closed down the coffee shop, you know, after the hours were over. And we'd go out to a little side room that a woman had given us to just pray in. It was a lady who was holding a little teaching seminar deal out of this one little room. And she gave us the key to it, told us to treat it like our own. And so we'd go over there and pray. I mean, and we'd pray till 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, wake up with an hour's sleep and be completely rested for school, just praying out the perfect will of God. Marvelous times in the Lord. Then I started seeing things happen financially. Another ministry came, not this one, not anyone in Jackson, not anyone in Mississippi, started paying all of my rent. Then another ministry started paying for all my schooling. So here I am making minimum wage, but I'm able to pay for other kids' school. Things like, it gets cold in Tulsa, you know, it doesn't near get cold here like it does there. And so I'm without a good winter coat. And I'd pray and say, Lord, I thank you that the right coat comes to me. And a couple of days later, I get a knock on my door, I open up the door, and it's a lady standing there, and it's Keith Moore's secretary. And she said, Brother Moore was praying the other day, told me to give you this coat. I look down, it's a Versace leather jacket, just handed to me. Well, why is that happening? It's not just because I prayed. Listen to me. It's not just because I prayed. It's not just because God wanted it to happen. No, I'm in the right place. And in that place, there is grace. If I would have worked anywhere else, lived anywhere else, if I would have violated the path of God, the plan of God, the will of God, that never would have happened. Go over to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. Follow your seamer. If it seems good, go for it. If it seems wrong and you're thinking, duck, run, 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 run. Proverbs chapter 4. And look here in verse 11. Proverbs 4 and verse 11. It says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee, Proverbs 4 and verse 11, I have led thee in right paths. Everyone see that word paths? I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Notice here, the quality of your life is dependent upon the quality of instruction you're hearing and obeying. He's leading you in right paths. How's He leading you in those paths? He's giving you instruction. He's telling you what to do. When you hear that instruction, you hear that seamer, it seems good on the inside. When you follow after that, that's instruction. When he's telling you, you don't need to be around them, that's instruction. When he's telling you to take that job, that's instruction. When you follow that, you're on the right path. When you get off of that, you get on the wrong path. You get over on detours and you start getting in places that God never intended you to get in. Remember over there in the book of Acts, Paul came out and told the guys before they set sail, something doesn't seem right. We don't need to get on this boat. Something does not seem right. They didn't heed to them. They all got on it anyway. Storm came up and they lost the whole ship. Was it God's will that they lose the ship? No, he was trying to get them through Paul's inward witness. Something doesn't seem right about getting on this boat. And they never should have gone through that. They saw things, experienced pain that they never should have experienced had they had listened to that seamer, that inward witness. And the same is true with your life and mine. When we start going our own way and start doing our own will, not listening to the instruction, that inward witness from the Holy Ghost on the inside, it's taking us off God's path and it gets us over onto our own. Let's keep reading here in verse 14. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken from them, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." But, watch this, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of wicked is as of darkness. They know not at what they stumble. But watch this in verse 18. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Friends, I'm telling you, God has got a path for you. A path. And that path is filled with plans to prosper you and bring you a hope and a future. And the way you know you're on the path, and it's clearly seen, you don't have to ponder it. You don't have to, I wonder if I'm on the path or not. No. You can tell clearly. The way you know you are on the path is it getting brighter and brighter? Is your life shining more and more? Is it getting better and better? Are you going from glory to glory? And if you look at your life right now and it seems like things aren't getting brighter and brighter and things aren't flowing like you know they should be, and you're not going from glory to glory, you need to check your heart. Because somewhere with something, you've gotten off the path. The path that God has for you grows brighter and brighter. I heard Brother Keith Moore tell this story. I've told it in all three services. It's about the only thing I've told consistently in all three services. There was this man in his late 60s who went to healing school there out at Rhema. And Rhema has a Bible school that opens up during the day. You know, it's year-round type deal to where, you know, you go in and are trained in the Bible, trained in the Word of God. But then they also have a thing called healing school. That's not no tuition base. You don't pay to go in it. You just go in there and they teach on healing. Basically, it's typically reserved for people who have life-threatening illnesses. Doctors have given up on them. And so they go to healing school to hear the word and have their faith built up. And then they have healing ministered to them. But it's not just something you go to for a day. It's an extended period of time. And so typically, especially for people who are consistent with Healing School in the morning sessions, you get to know them. It's not just like us preaching here now with a lot of people and three services. And so a lot of people are going through without me getting a chance to meet them or know them. And there, it can be as small as 4 to 5 people in a session with an instructor. And so Brother Moore, he's over Healing School, and he's got his morning sessions where he's getting to know people, and then the afternoon sessions where everybody is available to come, not just the sick. And this man comes in into one of these Healing School sessions, who's in his late 60s. And Brother Moore described the man this way, and I think that we've all met people like this. He said he was a man who just had a special countenance. Have you ever met anyone like that who was just, I mean, when you saw them, when you met them, you just knew that they were of high character, that they were just good people. You ever met anyone like that? I think of someone like that, like John Brown. I don't know if any of you know John Brown, Brother Brown, but Tommy Brown's father. Tommy's on the on staff. He's our associate pastor. He's over Impact Groups. Well, his father, he just has a special countenance. I mean, this is just a special man. And so this is how this guy was. You could just meet him. I'm sure, like I said, you've met people like that too, who just when you meet them, they're special people. You can tell they're just good quality people. And this guy, he's in Healing School, and he's got this countenance. He's got this way about him. He's a good man. This is not a bad guy, good man, special countenance, stood out from the rest. But yet he's in Healing School and he's dealing with sickness. He's dealing with this disease. And Brother Moore is teaching. Now in Healing School, you're teaching a lot. I mean, you're teaching many different days and many different times a day on different subjects. So you got a lot of subjects that you're tying back to healing. And on this particular day, he's not talking about faith. He's not talking about healing per se. Brother Moore starts talking about the will of God. And he starts making statements like these. If you want God's best, you have to do God's best. If you want God's perfect plan, you've got to do God's perfect plan. If you want God's perfect will, you must do God's perfect will. And if you don't do God's best, and if you don't do God's perfect plan, and if you don't walk in God's perfect will, it will affect other things, including your physical body. And it's the absolute truth. Well, as he's teaching, this man's sitting in the audience, and light is coming to him. Now, this is done by the Holy Spirit, and this is why we teach the Word and don't just get up here and talk. Because it's the only way light can come. And as he's listening, light's coming to him. He's seeing on the inside where he's missing it. That's it. That's the adjustment I need to make. And he comes down to Brother Moore at the end of the session. And he says, Brother Moore, basically you hit the nail on the head. He said, years ago when I was in my early 20s, I knew that I was called to go to Africa and be a missionary. He said, this is not just some whim. This is not just, I knew I was. And Brother Moore said, are you sure that you were? He said, without a doubt. I said, well, why didn't you go? He said, well, I went and talked to my wife about it. And immediately, now this is where we can miss it, especially as couples. If we just start talking without really seeking the Lord, immediately without taking any time to pray, she immediately throws up her guard and says, I don't want that. I want a normal life. Basically what she's saying is, I don't want to be a missionary somewhere. I want a normal life. I want my own house. I want a fence. I want kids. I want normal jobs. I don't want anything extravagant. I want a normal life. And he said, Brother Moore, I got to tell you, we have lived anything but a normal life. He said, we have gone from struggle to struggle, from battle to battle. If it's not one thing, it's another. We overcome this and something else creeps up. We've lived anything but a normal life. Well, where did he miss it? He was doing what they wanted to do instead of what God told him to do. Friends, listen to me. If they would have gone, and this man acknowledged it, they would have had far more than a normal life. But they didn't walk in God's path. They didn't walk in God's way. Unfortunately, they got off on a 40-year detour that took them into some places they didn't want to see. And it wasn't because God wanted it for them. They just never got over into the place God had for them. Go over to 1 Kings. We'll close with this. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. I know people like that. I know a lot of people who aren't in the will of God. But I know a lot of people who are like that man. Special people. Sweet as all get out. Love the Lord. Good people. And you can't figure out how in the world is life so difficult for them. Well, there's a reason. They're not on the right path. The path of the Lord grows brighter and brighter, better and better, shineth more and more. In 1 Kings chapter 17, it's a very interesting story. God comes in into the land, and basically Israel and the whole region has fallen away from the Lord. And God sends Elijah to come in and prophesy to the king that there will be no rain. Now basically, when this happens, he's saying that the whole nation, the whole economy is about to be shut down. I mean the whole deal, because they were an agricultural-based economy where they're making all their money from the exchange of goods like cattle and wheat and food and all those things. And so if there is no rain, no crops can grow. And not just that, what are you going to feed the cattle with? And then what are you going to feed yourself with? And this famine's getting so bad, there's no one who's not affected. I mean no one who's not. And God tells Elijah to do something very interesting. Watch here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence from this place, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There. Where is the provision going to be? There. God's commanded ravens to feed him, but if he's not there, he's not getting fed. The provision is there. He gets to that place, and watch what happens when he gets to that place. Verse 5. So he did and went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens, imagine this, birds, brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Notice how God is taking care of him. It is supernatural. Friends, that is grace. Birds are dropping all food. Everyone else is starving all around him, but he's got birds feeding him. Why? He's there. He's in the right place. It's getting brighter and brighter. All around him, it's getting darker and darker. People are stumbling all around, but not for him. For him, it's getting better and better. Why? He's in the place God's told him to be. And the reason why so many people are struggling is because they never even thought about getting in God's place. They keep going out doing their own thing, working wherever they think will pay the bills, being around whoever they like, listening to whatever they like. And they've never taken any time whatsoever to see where is the place God wants me to be. What is the path God wants me to walk in? And it's not just people being bad people. It's good people who mean well and even who love God. They're just not in the right place. Brother Hagin said this about ministers. He said, many ministers live and die and never get over into the first phase of what God had called for them. Because he said, you got businessmen trying to be pastors. Pastors who are trying to be businessmen. Teachers who are trying to be prophets. Prophets who are trying to be pastors. And they live frustrated. because they never got into the place God had for them, and they never got into the things of God because they never got on the path of God. Friends, that's not just true with pastors. You got carpenters trying to be surgeons, surgeons trying to be carpenters. You got people in wrong places. And not just in where you work, but in attitudes of the heart. Any instruction God gives you is your next place. Anything He's dealing with your heart about, it's your next place. And when you get there, you're going to see that outpouring of grace. See, this is the interesting thing here in 1 Kings 17. He was in his place, but guess what? The brook started drying up. The water starts running low, and he sees it. This is not something that took place over a day. It's not raining. He's seeing this brook dry up steadily. And this is how it is with you and me. God will go on the move. And you'll be in one place and grace is pouring out. And he starts telling you, you need to come over here now and do this. You need to work on this in your life. And you sense that grace is starting to dry up because the place is moving. God's on the move. And when you sense that move, move with God. Go over into the place God's called you to go. Move over into the things God's called you to move in. And so the word of the Lord comes into, again, we'll read this. Finally, and then we'll wrap it up. Verse 8, watch, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there, go there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he begot to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering the sticks, and he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Notice the plan of God. God sends this prophet there for a widow woman to sustain him. In the natural, this makes no sense. Why didn't he send him to a king, someone who had some food in reserves, or a rich brother-in-law? In the natural, it would have made sense for Elijah to talk himself out of this. But God sends him to a little widow woman who has nothing. She's going to make a little fire out of two sticks, make a little cake. That's all she has left. And when they eat it, she's planning on dying because she has no more food. But God sends him there to that woman. Why? He was working a miracle not just for Elijah, but for her. Listen, friends, there are times where the plan of God does not make sense. But it doesn't matter in the natural if it makes sense. If it makes God and He's saying it's a goose, run after it. Go after it. Get in that place. And in that place, that's where all the grace is. That's where all the favor is. That's where things click. It's there. If Elijah would have went to any other city with any other widow woman, it wouldn't have worked. He could have made all the faith confessions he wanted, but his provision was over there in Zarephath with that widow woman. That's where God called him to be. Are you in the path? Is it getting brighter and brighter, better and better, shining more and more? I don't care. Wait, someone said, look at the economy. Look at that economy. There's nobody doing anything that's making any money. But yet God worked a miracle. Why? They were in the right place. They were in the right time doing what God told them to do. What has God called you to do? On the job, what's He called you to do? Where's He called you to work? Where's He called you to live? Who's He called you to be around? What's He calling you to do? What's He calling you to listen to? What adjustments is He calling you to make? He's trying to lead you down the path. Each adjustment, each thing He's dealing with is your next place. It's your next there. And when you get there, when you get in that place, that grace opens up. Things begin to flow. Life gets easier. And that past starts getting brighter and brighter. You just look back and say, look what the Lord has done. There's graces with places. Get in your place. In the natural and in the spiritual, get in your place. And you'll see that grace start to flow. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've been a wonderful audience today. Before you leave, let me pray for you. Father, we come before you today. And we thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you, Lord, that you're positioning us in the right places. If there's any adjustments that we need to make, let us make them. Arrest us, Lord, if we go outside your will, outside your plan. Pull us back to center. Thank you, Lord. We'll follow our seamer. And Father, if we're sensing something's not right, we'll back off until we get a green light, until we know it's right. If we're sensing to do something, well, let us do it, Lord. If we're sensing we need to make a change and need to make an adjustment, let us be faithful to make that change, to make that adjustment. And move over into the place that you have for us. Get over into the theirs in life, both naturally and spiritually. And we thank you, Lord, that when we do, that grace flows and abounds. Thank you, Lord, for all these people here. Bless them, increase them. Make yourself so real to them they can't deny you. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, if you